Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I believe that what I'm preaching today is more than a message, but it is a prophetic word that God set time to favor you and favor His people and favor His church is now. That in 2016, many of you are about to move from a time of being on hold, answers being delayed, to the set time that God has designed. The time has come to favor you. Yes, even your set time has come. I believe that when you read this story, you can learn that in Acts chapter 16, the Bible said twice Paul tried to go to Asia, and twice the Bible said the Holy Spirit forbid him to go. He tried twice to go in a direction, and it wouldn't happen. And I'm telling you that sometimes a closed door from God is just as much a blessing as an open door. When God closes the door, don't curse it and don't get upset and don't get down. You need to trust God, not just when He opens doors and rejoice, but when He closes doors and He says, that's not my will right now. I've got another plan. And when he backed off from trying to go in a direction, God said, that's not the set time. He would eventually go to Asia and win the whole nation, by the way. The Bible said in a span of 2.5 years, he won all of Asia. When he did it in God's timing, he was very fruitful. When he tried to do it in the flesh, you don't want to give birth to Ishmaels this year. You need to wait on God. And if God says no, then just wait on the Lord. And the Bible said while he was waiting, because the door had closed twice, that he had a vision of a man in Macedonia. And the man said, come and help us. And so then the Bible said he went and got assurance from the elders and asked, do you agree? Do you feel in sync with this word? And they agreed. So he's got a vision from God. He's got a word from God. He's got elders confirming the word and blessing him and sending him forth. And you would think if you got a vision from God and a word from God and the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word has been established, that you're just going to go and all the blessings and all the vision is just going to fall right in your lap. The Bible said when he got there, there was nobody there. The man wasn't there. Where's the man that was in the vision? So they're standing there in a strange place. They know nobody. And the only hot spot that they could find was, the Bible said, there was a band of women praying by the river. And when this group of women were praying by the river, Paul went and got in that prayer meeting, and he felt charged up. And you would think, okay, now he's got a vision, he's got a word from God, he's got confirmation from the elders, he's been in a Holy Spirit prayer meeting by the river, got the empowerment, he's ready to go and do God's will. And as soon as he stepped out of that prayer meeting, the Bible said he encountered a demon-possessed woman. And that woman began to follow him around. She had a spirit of divination, and he cast the devil out of her. And when he did, the authorities got angry with him because they made money off of her fortune telling. And the scripture said they beat him mercilessly, he and Silas, and threw him into a prison, in the inner prison, and chained them and put their feet in stocks. And there they are. It's 11:59. And at midnight, they began to sing praises unto God. I'm saying to you today that nothing went right. Nothing was happening that was supposed to be happening. And this is what I'm preaching on. I'm preaching on midnight miracles. Because right before, listen, get this. This is the premise of my message. That right before your great set time of favor comes, there's the darkness of 11:59. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Nothing's going different. And that is exactly where they were. At 11:59, they were in pain, in chains, and nothing going on. Nothing going right. Somebody said, well, Pastor Franklin, you don't understand. I just feel like God has me on hold. I've asked him and asked him and asked him, and it just feels like God has me on hold. Well, if God has you on hold, don't hang up. It's 11:59. We've still got a word from the Lord. We still got a vision from the Lord. We've still got a confirmation in our spirit. And no matter what's going on in the nothing's happening season, if you will hold on, the set time will come. It's 11:59, but the midnight hour is coming. Midnight is God's favorite time. For us, we think of it as a dark time, but God does some of his greatest miracles. The good things happen in God usually at midnight. In other words, right at the darkest moment, you're just moments away. Everything can change with one birth of God suddenly, and you move from a dark 11:59 to midnight and miracles and breakthrough like you've never dreamed before. What you tried to make happen, there's a grace and it just happens. The doors you've tried to kick open, God's grace gets in it and every door opens. That's the kind of season that's coming in your future this year, if you can believe. I need somebody to stir up the gift that is within you. It's stronger than the darkness you're in. Hallelujah. When the children of Israel were ready, when God set time to favor them came after 400 years of bondage, guess what time it was when they came out? The Bible said at midnight, God brought them out. Now they had put the blood on the lamb and the blood had been there, but it had not been activated. But there came a day when God activated the blood. So what do you do when you're in delay? What do you do when you're waiting and you know you've got a word from God, but it's not happening? What do you do when it's 11:59, and it was just like it had been for 400 years. 11:59, and they were still slaves and still poor and still defeated. 11:59, but instantly, suddenly, when the clock struck midnight, then God said, my set time has come to favor them. And in one moment's time, everything changed and they came out. Why? And what do you do when you're in that in-between place? You know what they did? They trusted in the blood. When you don't know anything else to do, when you got a child that you're praying for and they're deceived by the power of Satan and the devil whispers they're never going to get right, they're never coming back to church, they're never going to get saved, they're never going to get off drugs or alcohol. What do? You trust in the blood. I applied the blood. I'm trusting in the blood. It doesn't look like it's working, but there's going to come a moment when God's set time will activate the power of the blood, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I believe that this is the set time, and until then, trust in the blood, trust in the blood, trust in the blood. I don't care where they are and what they're doing, they're coming back home if you'll trust in the blood. Shout, I trust in the blood. It's covering my family, covering my children, covering my home. I trust in the blood. It was at midnight that Ruth slipped into the threshing floor where all the families of the workers were laying, and her kinsman redeemer, the man who said, I know you're poor. I know you're devastated. I know you're in mourning and sorrow, and you've had hard things and grief in your life, but I'm going to take care of you. And the Bible said at midnight, she slipped in to the threshing floor and uncovered his feet and laid down at his feet. And I believe that this is the midnight hour, and it's been 11:59, and some of you have been grieving, and some of you have been struggling, and some of you have been living off of the leftovers, and even dependent upon the government or other people to get you through. We don't put you down or look down on you for that. There are seasons where we go through famine, and she was going through famine, but I feel led today. I feel prophetic today to tell you that God has heard your cry, and as you are at his feet for these 21 days, God's going to move you from 11:59 of need and poverty and devastation and grief and sorrow. And now it's midnight, and he woke up, and the Bible said at midnight her redeemer Boaz woke up and put a covering over her. And that's what God's grace is. That's what God's love is. That's what God's favor is and His blood is. It's a covering over you that says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to supply your needs. You were begging in the field at 11:59, but you're going to own the field at 12 o'clock because it's your set time. It's a midnight miracle. The Bible said at midnight, the midnight cry goes forth. The virgins were waiting for the bridegroom, and the bride was waiting for the bridegroom. And when the door opens, the scholars believe that's symbolic of the rapture, because Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door, and then he comes. And so here comes the bridegroom, and he's going to where the bride is and the bridal party, but there's someone running before him, and he was crying out, and he had the midnight cry. The Bible said, and there went a cry at midnight, saying, behold, the bridegroom cometh. I believe that that is the cry of revival. And I believe that even though it's dark, and even though we're seeing prophecies, and even though we're seeing things happen even in this nation that boggle our minds, and we stand astonished almost daily at things that we're seeing in the news and things that we see happening that cause our heart to tremble, I also see at the midnight hour, it's 11:59 and everything's unsure, but right before the coming of the Lord, there's the midnight cry that says, He's coming, He's coming. I believe that's the cry of revival. I believe God's going to send a spirit of revival to His church, and that just before Jesus comes again, the church is going to be awakened, and the church is going to come alive, and the church is going to get right with God, and the church is going to cry out to God, and we are living in that midnight cry. And I just feel like the Lord sent me here on the middle of this fast to say to somebody, it's 11:59. But it's about to be 12, and if you'll hear the midnight cry, God's set time is coming. Does anybody hear that going off inside of you, that things are going to change? Shout, something is coming, something is coming, something is coming. I'm getting a midnight miracle. One of the most amazing things in the scripture is, I want you to see the mental picture of Exodus 26. This is exactly what happens right before you have your midnight miracle. It gets so dark at 11:59. And the Bible said the Old Testament tabernacle was covered with badger skins and with ram skins on the outside. But once you begin to go inside, the scripture said that there were 11 massive curtains that were made from goat skins. Hundreds of goats had been slaughtered, and they would take their skins and sew them together, and God commanded that these curtains be hung. And so let's say that over here is the glory of God, the holy place. It's where God is. And before you would get to Him, you would have to not only go through the outside of the badger skins in that tabernacle and the ram skins, but then there would be 11 goat skins, huge, massive curtains. And you had to get through the goats to get to the glory. And there were 11 of them. And I could see, you know, I'm trying to get to the fulfillment of what God's told me. I'm trying to get to the blessing. I'm trying to get to the glory. But there's goats. And right before you encounter the glory, look out for the goats. The goats are there for one thing, to bring resistance, to see how bad you want it. They're there to let you, to stop you, to discourage you. And before you have your breakthrough, before you see that son saved, that daughter changed, that marriage healed, before you see that family turned around, that business breakthrough, you will have to go through the goat. And once you get through one, oh my God, here's another one. And oh my God, here's, well, I fasted, my Lord. And this is, what in the world? And what in the world? And my God, I don't even want to hear any of those kind of sermons. I believe so much, and here's goat number 9, and here's goat number 10, and here's goat number 11. And if that's not bad enough, the Bible said that the last gate or curtain that was hanging on the door that led inside to where the holy place was, that the curtain was double goat. Look at verse 9, that the curtains, and thou shalt double it in the forefront of the tabernacle. I mean, look, you go through 11, everybody say 11. And then you get right before you're about to have the big breakthrough. It's 11:59. And guess what you encounter? Double goats. Double resistance. Double discouragement. Double all hell breaks loose. Double every circumstance. You know what that is? That's spiritual warfare, and it's the devil trying to double up. But he knows you're about to experience the glory of God, and right before it, he doubles up on his efforts to talk you out of it, to get you to give up and quit. But if you'll keep pressing through, you'll break through. That's why we're fasting and we're praying, because if we don't get it today, we'll get it tomorrow. And if we don't get it tomorrow, we will get our breakthrough. And then you get through, and the Bible said there was white linen that had angels embroidered on it, which means you move from the double goats of resistance into angel zones. And then you go on in, and there is the glory of God. And I feel like somebody needs to hear this today, that it's been resistance after resistance after resistance, goat after goat after goat, and now it's double goat. But nothing can stop you, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. And he's going to give you your breakthrough as you seek him in fasting and prayer. And I'm saying to you today, That last layer, the Bible said there was a veil that separated God, the priest, from the Holy of Holies. Listen, nowhere are we told that it had an opening. The only place that we know that it was opened was when Jesus died on the cross, and the Bible said an earthquake came and it shook the temple and it tore the curtain from the top to the bottom. The Lord spoke to me in my heart, and he said to tell people who are the head or the top that if we get torn, it goes all the way to the bottom. If we let God tear us up, it'll go all the way to our children and our children's children. That if you're the head of the home, Dad, and on this fast, you say, God, tear me. God, I want to rend my heart and not my garments. I want you to go deep, tear me from, and start it with the head and go all the way to the bottom. What starts at the head, even in this church, the leadership, if all of the leadership says, God, start it at the top and tear down to the bottom, and let the brokenness, let the humility, that tearing speaks of humility. It speaks of God breaking us. It speaks of God tearing us. That's what fasting does. What does it take to tear us? What does it take to open us? What does it take for us to reach a point that we're broken before God? I want you to understand that humility, true humility, is not denying the power you have. True humility is not self-debasing yourself, putting yourself down. But true humility is acknowledging the power you have that comes through you, not from you. True humility says, I have power and I have blessing and I have success, but it's not power that came from me, it came through me. And I know who my source is. And God, when we reach the top, we have to have continual tearings so that it can keep going to the bottom. He tore the veil from top to bottom. What would happen if every mom and every dad said, tear me, oh God? I tell you what would happen. It would go through the family. It would go through the house. It would go through the church. It would go through the ministry. And God's glory would come out like we've never seen in our lives. I close with this, but I heard the story of a missionary in Vietnam who during the Vietnam War, he found himself there as an interpreter, and many evangelists and went over and preached and used this man as an interpreter. And then when the communists came in and took over Vietnam and all the Americans left, he was left alone, and his name came up on a list, and they incarcerated him and threw him into prison. And this Vietnam Christian evangelist found himself in a prison being tortured, barely fed, working all day. He said he had to attend two classes a day where they indoctrinated him with communist doctrine, and no Bible, of course, allowed, no encouragement, no other Christians. They beat him. They tortured him. For 2.5 years, this went on, not one day, but day after day after day. They just beat him down. And he said he finally got to the place that because of the storm that he was going through and the persecution he was under, that he bowed his head and he prayed, "God, I don't even know what I believe anymore." They had broken him. You understand, no Bible, no encouragement, no one to pray for you, nobody to help you, and all you're doing is being tortured and beaten. That's the psychological thing they do to beat you down. And he's hearing it over and over and over, what you believe is a lie. And he said he had the duty of cleaning the latrines and the filthy toilets in that prison camp. And he went to clean the toilet after he had prayed that prayer. And he said he had to pick up the filthy paper that had waste on it. And he said that he noticed something that he never saw before in all the years he had been there cleaning that latrine. He said he saw, because it was forbidden, any printed material, but there was one printed material. It was a page, and he said it was crumbled up. It was a crumbled up, and he said, "I saw printing on it, and I'd never seen that in 2.5 years. And he said it was laying on the ground, that crumbled piece of paper that had some kind of printing on it. He said, "Just because I had no kind of communication, nothing to read, no one to talk to, I picked that dirty piece of," you know what it was used for. It was used for, somebody had used it for toilet paper. And he picked it up, and he said he put it in his pocket. And he said after he finished cleaning the toilets, he went back and he took that piece of paper and he opened it up and he started cleaning it off enough. This is not that piece of paper. This is one like it. And he cleaned it off, and it was Romans chapter 8. "For we know that all things work together for the good to them that are called according to his purpose. And what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall persecution, tribulation, distress? Yea, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ." He's reading that, and he was saying, "God, I need a word." And you may be in 1159. I'm telling you, if God has to, he'll send a word to you through toilet paper, whatever he has to do to get you to hold on. And I tell you, it wasn't long before he was free. My message to you is, I'm bringing you that word. It's 1159, but the midnight hour is on the way. God's set time has come to favor you. If you receive it, throw your hands up and praise God for just a moment. Lift him up, praise him and exalt him. Stand to your feet all over this room, wherever you are, and lift your hands high now and open your mouth for the next few moments. I want you to fill this room with praise. I want you to fill this room with thank yous, and I want you to fill this room with expressions of faith through your praise. As they sang praises at midnight, suddenly, there came an earthquake. Somebody's fighting double goat resistance. Don't let it discourage you. It actually ought to encourage you. The devil doesn't fight an advancing army, just a retreating one. The reason he's fighting you is because you're about to break through to the glory that you have longed for. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven for a moment. Is God speaking to people in this room today? Those of you listening to me by television, nothing's impossible with God. It's been dark, but they shall arise. For my time to favor them, yes, my set time has come. Everything's going to change because of the favor and grace of God on your life this year, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that son, that daughter, that situation is going to change. Go on and wake your faith up and stir your faith up. You're in miracle territory.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter at Jensen or Facebook at Jensen Franklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.